Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As state and national leaders continue to debate how to protect workers and best revive the economy, the Durham-based Hunt Institute held an important discussion this week on the critical role of high-quality childcare. The Institute, which honors the legacy of former North Carolina Governor Jim Hunt, invited Governor Roy Cooper, as well as the governors of Oregon, Michigan, and the Lieutenant Governor of Illinois, to discuss the value of early childhood learning. Oregon Governor Kate Brown says we cannot talk about fully reopening our economy without a conversation about how families will care for their children and how we will stabilize the child care market.
The pandemic has truly underscored what so many of us already knew, that child care is essential to our families, our children, and to our economy. And that, of course, women, and particularly women of color, bear the brunt of this under-resourced pillar of our economy. Our child care providers, Head Start, and preschool teachers in our state have always been essential workers, but in the past 4 months, they have truly been on the front lines of our state's response to this pandemic. And obviously, their work cannot be done virtually. Last year, we were incredibly fortunate. I, in partnership with the legislature, made a historic investment in early learning, adding $200 million annually to the state budget to provide culturally responsive early learning services, including expanding Early Head Start and our state preschool programs, and giving a raise to every single Head Start teacher in our state. So right now I am fighting to protect those investments through the pandemic, even though our state, like many, many others, is facing a really challenging budget crisis.
Illinois Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton stressed the need for early childhood education to be more equitable as lawmakers grapple with staggering rates of unemployment.
It is our duty, not just as policymakers, but also as just caring human beings, to break the cycle of underserving our children who need the most help, especially those from marginalized and under-resourced communities. We can break this cycle with caring and smart policy changes, and also by understanding the science. Science that says, for example, that 85% of the brain development happens in the first 1,100 days or 3 years of life. That during this time, billions of cells are growing and will affect how a child learns, reacts, and bonds with other human beings. Data that shows that when children are abused or neglected, or when they go hungry or are homeless, when they are exposed to community or domestic violence, they are in a constant state of trauma. And this constant state of trauma leads to toxic stress and changes a child's life forever. But in all honesty, and especially in the times that we find ourselves in right now, we know that trauma is also the result of systemic racism in our educational system. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics describes racism as being detrimental to the mental health of children of color. The educational system often views Black and brown children through a harsh lens, even at the earliest stages. And too often, instead of being viewed as simply curious or inquisitive, they are much more likely to be characterized as troublemakers who talk too much. Black and brown children are disproportionately penalized in school for their behavior. And as I mentioned before, this practice often begins at a very early age. And so an example of policy is why, as a state legislator, I sponsored and worked very hard to pass a bill to end preschool expulsions in Illinois, because 3- and 4-year-olds were being expelled from early childhood programs, disproportionately Black and brown boys and increasingly Black and brown girls. So what I always say is that we not only have to dismantle the school to prison pipeline, we must also work to dismantle the preschool to prison pipeline.
Even before the pandemic, it's estimated nearly half of North Carolina's children were living in childcare deserts, locales where there aren't enough childcare slots for the number of children in the community. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer told the panel that high-quality early childhood programs need to be viewed as a smart, long-term investment.
Children who attend full-day preschool programs have increased vocabularies and outperform their peers in cognitive development, in math, in physical development. And so investing in early education is really essential to eliminating the the disparity for low-income children who fall behind in third grade reading, for instance. That dictates essentially the trajectory of the rest of their lives. Here's what we have to do in order to expand pre-K for Michigan kids. We have provided additional funding to the Great Start Readiness Program. We've coordinated with existing structures to direct increased funding to kids who need it the most. So we built equity into our per pupil allotment. And we've created a continuum of care from birth through kindergarten for low and moderate income families. We know that pre-K is just one part of what truly is a great start for kids. And that's why we're also working to expand access to home visiting, expand access to early interventions and childcare, because we know that families are stretched and all of these supports help families meet the needs of their kids and help our kids meet the benchmarks that truly are important for being a lifelong learner and ultimately having a better health and more likelihood at prosperity throughout the course of your life if we get it right at the beginning.
Governor Roy Cooper used the platform to make the case for more relief funding from Washington to ensure the safe reopening of daycare centers and schools and further support cash-strapped states.
State and local assistance is absolutely essential. We are the ones paying the frontline healthcare workers, emergency responders, teachers, early childhood educators, law enforcement officers. Many state and local budgets are strained. So we need for the federal government to recognize that another tranche of funding is absolutely critical, in addition to extending the unemployment benefits. And in fact, the executive order that was signed today takes money out of disaster relief funding for FEMA and plus requires the state to pay 25% of it. So you're essentially having to choose between disasters there.
And former U.S. Secretary of Education John B. King, who now heads up the Education Trust, believes international competitors are ahead of the U.S. in their ability to reopen because those countries have a coherent strategy for testing, tracing, and moving past the pandemic. King says Congress must address these shortcomings by the Trump administration and do more to combat growing food insecurity and the digital divide.
I do want to point out, we have a real child hunger crisis in this country. 14 million kids who are food insecure. 40% of Black and Latino families are struggling to get food reliably to their kids. So we need a very significant increase in SNAP benefits. We need extension of pandemic EBT, which allows a free and reduced price lunch meals to be turned into an ATM-like card that families can use to get groceries. Governor Whitmer has done actually the nation-leading good job with pandemic EBT getting food to families in Michigan. We also need a national strategy around the internet. Pretty much everywhere we're going to have some mix of distance or hybrid. And yet, we know as a country, about 79% of white families have reliable internet access. 66% of African-American families, 61% of Latino families. Some kids literally have the schoolhouse door barred for them because they don't have internet access. This is a national problem. It needs a national strategy. At a minimum, Congress ought to set aside at least $4 billion for the E-rate program, which can then be used to try to get internet access to kids. But this is an education problem. It's a looking for a job problem. It's an accessing benefits problem. We've got to get the internet to folks, particularly our high needs urban and rural communities.
Well, you can learn more about the early childhood landscape in North Carolina at the Hunt Institute website. That's hunt-institute.org. You can also check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please stay safe as best you can, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.